family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue, the discussion each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues this last day of 2024, I pray that you're looking forward to with anticipation of what God is going to do in and through your life as God continues to use you to impact the lives of others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you are looking forward to the coming year. And as we talk about the warnings for 2025, the issue today, the warnings for 2025, cautions, warnings, admonitions, however you want to state it, I believe we need to look at the reality of what is before us this new year. And it's not from a macabre standpoint. It's not from an ideological standpoint that it is bad, bad, bad news. But I think oftentimes there's a feeling that when the clock changes, when the calendar changes, all of a sudden everything's going to be brand new and there'll be no more problems. I'm here to warn you that that simply will not happen. I'm simply here to make the statement today that this is going to be a new year. As we enter into the new year, God has given us this opportunity to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. But ladies and gentlemen, we've all heard the term, oh, how time flies. Have you ever heard that? Time flies. Do you recall? can you recall back a few years ago? Or many years ago, when you were just a youngster, it seemed as though Christmas would never come. It seemed as though the year would just go by so slowly. But now, as we age, we realize how quickly time flies. And it really does. Time flies. Well, we're witnessing the rapid, fleeting days go by, the last few hours going by, as we enter into 2025. There are a lot of things that we need to look at, talk about, understand, embrace, and recognize what's before us in 2025. Yes, I understand God gave us, by His divine intervention, God has given us new hope, new aspirations through the election and placing Donald J. Trump in a position of being our 47th president. Some right close to 80 million votes. Donald Trump won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. Now, by the way, Chuck Schumer and others are wanting to eliminate the Electoral College vote and just go by a popular vote. And I pray that that'll not happen. But that's on the horizon for the potentiality for the battles that are before us in the next 4 years. If Jesus tarries, if the rapture doesn't come, and we're still here, we need to recognize some of the things that we as Christians need to be busy about, things we need to be doing. Perhaps you look back at what you did or did not do in 2024. Perhaps you're now making New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you've already made them. I don't want to hear them. You know why? Because New Year's resolutions, generally within the first 30 days, they've all been broken, cast aside, eviscerated, gone. Not to be anymore. I'm not talking about we need to make New Year's resolutions, but I will talk about the conclusion portion of this broadcast today, what we as Christians ought to do, how we ought to respond, what should be our agenda, modus operandi for what we're doing in the world today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about issues, as we face them, I need to remind you again that we face the issues based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible. I call it the truth book. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Notice, by the way, I must say this, that a lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible says you shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. Or the many will bifurcate that and say, the truth shall make you free. No, that is a half-truth. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, that's the Bible, then you are my disciples indeed. That word indeed means truly. The evidence of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is the staying in the word of God, studying the word. And he says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17, 17, A declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever. That's the truth of the Lord. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those today that are saying, truth doesn't matter. That you can bifurcate truth, you can change it. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel, published in 1947, 48, 49, titled 1984. And he projected that this statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true today. But I want us to understand truth matters. Truth matters regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. Truth matters whether you're saved or lost. Truth matters whether you are Democrat or Republican. Truth matters. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns the America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is what he said in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet, most younger Americans, according to the latest survey, say there's no absolute truth. And I touch on that each and every day at the beginning of this broadcast because that is a sad factor. We have the millennials today, 18 to 35-year-old age group, where 55% of them say this. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Anything that is not truth is a bifurcation of truth. And I've said many, many times on this broadcast and otherwise, I have truth as a whole lie. Go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus and a profound statement that he made out of many. But this is one of them. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge. I believe as we enter into this new year, that needs to be the mantra, the mindset, the modus operandi, mode of operation, if you will, for every Christian, is to seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. To seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and defend it, even to death. I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I believe it's time Christians truly follow the example in the Scripture and the mandate given by Jesus to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I believe that that is the requirement as we enter into the new year. In fact, another statement by Jan Hus was this. Do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. That should be our operational guidebook. And the truth is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the lawn care business with equipment like Honda, Echo for the homeowner. And then Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole, and atop the flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time is Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, at the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after just a brief moment of monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll invite you to call in, talk about the current issues, where it's going in your opinion for 2025, and what you think, we, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, what should we do? What should we expect for this new year? Should we expect all of a sudden a new page being turned and there being no more problems in D.C.? Well, if that's your thought, I'm here to warn you, you're in a great, you stand in great delusion. That won't happen. But I'm not a bearer of bad news. I simply want to talk about today the warnings for 2025. What should we be aware of? How should we respond? What should we expect to take place? Should we expect all of a sudden, because Donald J. Trump's been elected, that everything is going to be okay, there won't be any problems? No. Contrarywise, may I say to you, if you recall 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, Donald Trump's election, November 2016, in the 4 years he was in office, if you can recall that 4 years and the 4 years following that and the years before that of the lawfare, the attempts to destroy Donald J. Trump, the attempts to take his life on at least three occasions, the attempt to destroy him financially, if you think that's going to stop, I've got news for you. You're living in a cave someplace. It is not only not going to stop, it's going to intensify in 2025 and following. We need to be ready for that. We need to understand. We need to pray and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as we enter into 2025, I want us to understand this brand new year. It's not about resolutions and what you can make changes and how you can change. I'm persuaded that we need to look at our time, our days, and the events in light of what God's Word tells us. For example, the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that we're living in the last of the last days. Now, that doesn't change simply because the calendar changes from 2024 to 2025. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, it is very, very clear. The Bible says, "This know ye also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Now, that's a powerful warning. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make an error. God didn't mince words. He said in the last days, and ladies and gentlemen, time will not allow me to go through the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures that will validate the fact that eschatologically, prophetically, we're living in the last of the last days. And God says, in the last days, perilous times. That word perilous means dark. It means devastating, difficult, dangerous, deadly. That's the picture, the image of what God gives us for these last days that we're in. Just because we entered into 2025, a brand new calendar year, doesn't mean that those things. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I can go to the scripture and validate the fact that we're going to see these dark days, devastating, perilous times, will be promulgated and will intensify rather than decreasing. So the question boils down for you and for me, for Christians, conservatives, and patriots alike, Christian nationalists, as we're called today. It behooves us to recognize that we are in those last days, deadly, devastating, dark, and difficult days. So the question is, going back to Ezekiel 33 and verse 10, chapter 33 in Ezekiel, verse 10, Ezekiel says, "How should we then live?" So that's basically what I'm talking about when I'm talking about warnings for 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, God's granted America another opportunity to recognize His hand in the national affairs of our nation. God's granted that. God has divinely intervened. And we're witnessing now the amalgamation, putting together of major, major, major programs and processes by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, known as the Democrats, led by Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, and his team, to Trump-proof everything in Washington, all of the federal programs, Trump-proof. What that literally means is they're setting the trap so that whatever Trump does, he will be stymied, stalemated, and prevented from carrying out what God would have him to do, to preserve, to protect America. Joe Biden told Joe Biden 2 weeks ago, Joe, just burn it down. Burn it all down. Speaking about America. One of our sons, Greg, you've heard him on the broadcast from me before. Greg has said so many times, Dad, the Democrats would be willing to burn America down if they can rule over the ashes. And I believe that's what we're witnessing today. And that's not going to change because the calendar changes from 2024 to 2025. And that's not to depress you. That's not to discourage you. But that's so that we can look at it through the prism of the Word of God of what we need to do. What should we do? How should we then live? I believe we have a caller on the line. I go over the question to comment, please.
Now, the young blood.
Yes, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for the program, number one. But I got a question, but I want to give a testimony. God, I always believe in God and Christ. But it was proven to me. It was proven to me. I was in the hospital for over almost a month. I mean, and I saw this for myself. I had a hole in my small intestines. And they showed me the x-ray. And the next day, I had to get another x-ray. And when they came back in, they came in that evening. And they looked at dumbfounded. They could not find the hole. They could not find it. I was praying, and so many other people was praying for me. My wife was praying for me. And they kept me in the hospital for a while to see if it really was plugged up, because they wanted to see how they can attack it, you know, to cut me. And thanks be to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. And I got released on Christmas Day.
Amen. Well, you see, you go back to James 5:16, and the scripture says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And prayer works. God responds to the prayers of the faithful that are praying. Sometimes the answer to prayer is not what we expect and want, but God is going to answer the prayer. He's going to say, wait, no, or yes. And that's historically been true. But no better testimony than to be able to look back and see the hand of God, what God's done in one's life, that we might be able to praise Him and thank Him for it. Kenneth, as we go into a brand new year, what do you expect out of Washington? What are you expecting to take place in the next 12 months in America? Good, bad, or indifferent? What are you expecting?
I expect, like you said, they're trying to destroy America because they can get over the ashes. And it's like, I think in New York, and they will not drop the charges. And it is sad how the Democrats, if anybody was a Democrat, I was, anybody that's a Democrat, if you can't see what they're doing, they're trying to take America over, like, Russia, China, or whatever. Mm-hmm. They are trying to control America. They're trying to put us in the global system, and that's their goal. That's their goal. It's just like Clinton. When he said, testimony said, I never had sex with this woman. And then he admitted. And they didn't impeach him. And they're trying to do this stuff to, I call him our president. They're trying
Absolutely.
To do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're trying to do the same thing. And Kenneth, what we can expect from that standpoint, I believe that I'm putting it clearly, concisely. I believe we can expect to have the intensification of what they have been doing for the past 8 to 10 years already, and especially that took place in the past 8 years, the 4 years while it was in office and the 4 years since it's been in office. I believe the lawfare will intensify, but right now I'm concerned we've got about 20 days before President Trump is to be inaugurated, and there's all kinds of potentiality behind the scenes awaiting that day and trying to prevent it. The Democrats have already said they're not going to certify his election. They're not going to let him be seated. I believe we're going to find a fight. I'm talking about a court fight, court battle, with the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately having to do a fast-track analysis and review and answer. A major, major battle to try to prevent President Trump from being sworn in. That's number one. Secondly, I believe we're going to witness a major, major intensification of the suits against him. Everything he attempts to do, everything he wants to do and has said that he would do, closing the borders, et cetera, et cetera. Every step of the way, there's going to be another suit, wait for the courts, mm-hmm. wait for the courts, et cetera. Just mm-hmm. as when he tried to build a wall, there were suits and suits and more suits against him. And the bottom line is, I want our listeners to understand that we're entering into this very day a brand new year. And as we enter into a new year, we need not go into it thinking that somehow, some way, everything's going to automatically be a level playing field and Trump will be able to carry out his promises to America. But greater than that, Kenneth, I believe as Christians, we need to turn back to God. There needs to be a real revival. Our churches need to recognize yes. that we're in the last days where you see the great apostasy, the falling away. And Christians need to recognize God's called us to the task. We need to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Youngblood, they just don't understand. This is a spiritual battle.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It is a demonic battle. It is a battle between good and evil, a battle between God and Satan being played out in the hearts and the minds and the lives of human beings and in the nations around the world. Absolutely. It's a demonic battle. And the only thing that can win over that demonic battle would be Christians, Christians praying, Christians interceding, Christians sitting up, standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen rather than sitting in silence. I believe that if you want to say anything about 2025, I believe it's going to be the year that Christians need to wake up, sit up, be heard, and be seen, or we're going to see a major, major, major yeah. onslaught of the battle against the church. Thank you for your call, Kenneth, and you and your family have a happy new year. God bless you, and thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Terry, are you there?
Hello?
Go ahead with your question.
I'm sorry for that. Okay, I believe that next year, that if we don't turn back to Christ, that there's going to be war. I believe that it's the spiritual battle. The war is being fought in the spiritual realm, but we as Christians, we have to come back forth. There's a Satan right now. It's like he's not playing, and a lot of Christians don't really believe, who call themselves Christians, that there's good and there's evil. And it is, and it has to be fought. The front line is strong. You guys are strong, those that believe and speak the truth. But some can't give up their truth for the truth. And it's scary. It is scary. But if you are a child of Christ...
Terry, if I could jump uh-huh. in for just a moment, do some clarifications and kind of what I call a parenthetical footnote to that statement. One of the major problems as I see it, and I've analyzed it for years and years and years, studying the scripture, you find we have a multitude today that claim to be Christians that are in reality cultural Christians, not Christ Christians. Cultural Christians means that they go along with the culture, the wokeism, the mindset the LGBTQ sodomite agenda needs to be embraced, the mindset that somehow, some way, we need to hug everybody, love everybody, and whatever their sin may be, that we approve it, embrace it, celebrate it with them, thinking that somehow, some way, that is love. It is not. Love tells the truth, speaks the truth. Love confronts sin. Love confronts that which is evil and calls evil, evil, and sin, sin. And so that I believe that separates the, if you please, the real from the chaff from the wheat. It separates those that are really saved and those that are not. One of the things that we see taking place in our churches today is the great falling away, which is called, biblically speaking, the apostasy. But much of that that is falling away is the chaff, the not the wheat, the chaff that's falling away. You can go across the nation and you'll find today churches closing, churches getting so minuscule and small, they're merging with other churches to survive, and yet you find the pop-up churches with the pop-up theology, the voodoo theology. They're growing like weeds in society today because they are cultural Christians, not biblical Christians. There's a vast difference. And so it deserves our prayer. It deserves our attention, and especially as we enter into this brand new year, as Christians, we need to wake up, sit up, be heard, and be seen. We need to recognize what Psalms 146 and verse 3 says, and it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. We need to take our eyes and our focus off man and put our eyes and focus on the Lord and ask him to guide, direct, protect, and preserve our nation. In fact, Terry, I must say this. I believe that we're very near, on the very cusp of seeing the rapture of the church take place. Based on the authority of the scripture, there are no signs that needs to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church takes place. And we'll be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world as the salt and light that we are as Christians. So it deserves our prayer, deserves our attention, and Terry, most of all, it should cause us to be alert, awake, and recognize the signs of the times and what we see taking place, and not enter into this brand new year somehow, some way, thinking that everything is going to be all right. We still need to pray. We still need to be salt and light. Stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Terry, our time is gone for this half hour part of the broadcast, so thank you so much for calling, and God bless you. May you and your family have a happy new year, a blessed new year, and thank you again for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today the warnings for 2025. The warnings for 2025. What should we do? How should we respond? What should be our posture, our position as we stand for Christ in this new year? Should we look at it on the basis that we just toss in the towel, we say nothing, we do nothing, and just let it go as it pleases? God has placed us in a position as Christians that we need to be salt and light. As salt, we preserve decay. As light, we illumine the darkness. That ought to be our mindset, and not just sit back in silence in this new year. Right after the top of the hour news, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about it in more depth in relationship to what is taking place in the world today. What does that say in relationship to where we're going and what shall take place? And the bottom line is, what does God call on us to do in these last days? How should we then live? Hang in there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dials. Right after the news, we'll be right back to continue to face the issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, and WATY, Folkston.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. A man intentionally drove a pickup truck around a barricade in New Orleans early this morning, plowing into a crowd of people on Bourbon Street in the city's famed French Quarter. 10 people killed, at least 30 others injured. The man reportedly died in a gunfight with police. 2 officers were shot and wounded. They're hospitalized in stable condition. The FBI, which has joined the investigation, says at least one improvised explosive device was found at the scene. The FBI says it was not a terrorist attack, although the mayor of New Orleans classified it that way. Welcoming the new year at the crossroads of the world, it was a traditional ball drop in New York's Times Square. This time, though, a soggy celebration as rain drenched the revelers. And to quote President-elect Trump, 2025, we're going to do fantastically well as a country. More details, srnnews.com.
Do you have Bible college credits? Do you want to earn your degree? Would you like to do some studies online? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative